May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your Welcome attention, to Attention, Please, KPGZ's weekly news magazine. I'm your host, Larry Stein. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing two new reporters for Attention, Please, doing their first stories for the program. First up, we'll hear from Amelia Nunn, who took on the challenging and complicated story of the controversy over the poplar trees along Sims Way as you enter Port Townsend. Later in the program, we'll hear George Marie speaking to the two young women who now run the hospitality division of the Fort Worden operation as part of the complicated reorganization of Fort Worden. First up is Amelia Nunn, who is a 2021 graduate of Port Townsend High School. She took the media studies courses there and did some interviews with her fellow classmates about graduating high school during a pandemic. They were quite good. She came back to take on a complicated story, the story of the controversy over the poplar trees that line Sims Way as you enter Port Townsend. Amelia Nunn tells the story.
At the end of September 2021, the Port Townsend City Council, the Public Utilities District, and the Port of Port Townsend announced a joint project for the development of Sims Way. This project included the undergrounding of electrical wires, expansion of the boatyard, the installation of new sidewalks and bike paths, and the most controversial decision, the proposed removal of the 130 iconic Lombardy poplars that frame the entrance into town. This decision has become a source of fiery debate, so much so that one city council member declined to speak with me, stating that, if they did, quote, this seems like it is more likely to just turn into a political fiasco, unquote. When I began to report this story, I wanted to know what the community of Port Townsend thought about this issue. On March 3rd, I stood outside the Port Townsend Food Co-op and asked shoppers one question. What is your opinion on the proposed development along Sims Way, the project that may result with the removal of the iconic Lombardy poplars?
Well, I think it was a good idea. I think these trees probably shouldn't be here in the first place. They're falling apart, branches are falling off, and there's probably a better species to use.
I don't have the detailed background on why they're doing it, but I don't usually approve removing trees unless they're a safety hazard or they're sick.
I think it's a terrible idea. I've been admiring them for a long time.
Well, I think because the city's taking them down because they're diseased, but also because they need to expand the port. If it was just because they're diseased, I think I'd have a different opinion. But because it's also for their own gain, I think we should leave the trees.
Over and over, what I heard from our community was,
I don't even know what it is. I'm sorry.
No, but you were saying that you wish that the citizens knew more about why things are happening.
Yeah, why? Because we don't see it, right? We just see beautiful trees that has been here for 60 years, and then from one day to another, well, no, they are a problematic plant for us, a problem tree, so we just need to cut them down. But we don't see the problem. And I think that's why people are so kind of not trusting. Like, what is going on? The tree looks fine. And yes, now we understand some of them are diseased. Still, I think a more clear communication with citizens will be better.
Over and over, what I heard from the people of Port Townsend was, I wish I knew more. That statement is why I started reporting this story. It is my hope that the next 10 minutes will help to explain what is going on with the Lombardy poplars, why this plan came to be, who is involved, and how you, as a member of the community, can participate. Let's start by going back to where it all began. Jeff Randall, PUD District Commissioner for Port Townsend, has more.
This past summer in 2021, in June, PUD staff was notified by the port that we were having some issues with our overhead power lines adjacent to the port property at Boat Haven.
Aaron Berg, Executive Director for the Port of Port Townsend, received an email from the port's environmental specialist, Terry Taylor.
It reads, just after 3 p.m., a male walked up to the back window at the yard office and reported to Michelle that power lines near yard 304-305, those are spaces in the boatyard, were arcing. I was at the yard office and told Michelle I'd investigate and report any issue to the PUD. When I arrived, the location mentioned had no power pole nearby and all appeared to be in good order. I waited for several minutes and noted nothing out of the ordinary. As I turned to leave, a loud zap and snap went off and my hair, short and not much left, stood up. While reporting my findings to Drew at PUD, it happened again. The issue was midline, no pole or transformer involved. The power lines moving with the breeze are arcing with the branches of the two poplar trees outside the fence. I'm more accustomed to seeing arcing occur at transformers, but zap, bam, 45 minutes later, my scalp still tingles.
It was obvious that something needed to be done. The transmission line along Sims Way is part of an overlapping two-line system that provides crucial electricity to Port Townsend. With the line shut off, our town is more vulnerable to blackouts as we're currently dependent on only one transmission line and substation. The port, the city, and the PUD saw this as a chance to make lemonade out of lemons.
All saw possible advantages to collaborating. And the managers notified us of this, and then they put together a proposal and took it to this committee called the Public Infrastructure Fund Committee at the county. And they saw that this project could have economic value to Jefferson County by expanding the port and creating more jobs. And the whole cost of the project was estimated to be about $2 million, about $1.97 to be exact.
This project was planned to unfold in five phases. The first phase would be tree trimming and removal. The second, the undergrounding of power lines. Third, the construction of a walking path and the replanting of trees alongside the boatyard. Fourth, expansion of the boatyard. And fifth, the removal and replanting of trees along the Kai Tai side of Sims Way. The entire project is estimated to cost almost $2 million. Half of that will be covered by a $1 million grant from the Public Infrastructure Committee. This grant comes with the condition that it must be used to benefit our county's economy, a condition which is met by the expansion of the boatyard. More space for boats equals more jobs equals more money in our community.
The city and the port both had processes that they went through with the city at the Parks Commission and the City Council, and the port had their commissioners. They passed resolutions supporting this entire project. The project was approved, and this was, I believe, in around October. And that's when we started to hear from some of the public who were concerned about the poplars.
I'm Julie Jamon. I have lived in this area here for over 40 years.
I'm Andrea Hegland, and I grew up on the Olympic and Kitsap Peninsulas.
I first read a story in The Leader about the city removing the poplars, and I just couldn't believe it because there had been no announcement, no publication calling for a genuine public process to discover what the problem was. Just no process at all. It just was being announced.
Jamond and Hegland would go on to form the PT Poplar Alliance, a group set on defending the trees through uncovering inconsistency with the city government statements, independent research, and the proposal of alternate development plans. What is your opinion in response to the people who believe the poplars should be taken down and replaced by native species?
Every other street tree in the city is non-native. The street trees on Water Street they just planted are non-native. Most of the shrubs at Chesimoca Park are non-native. Half the trees are non-native. It's a specious argument. And I mean, are they going to go denude Chesimoca of all these non-native species? This is a transportation corridor with thousands of trips a day by vehicle. We shouldn't be trying to make it a park and attract any more wildlife there than is already there.
There are people in this community who disagree with you and believe the poplars should be removed. Why do you think they believe that?
That possibly was one of the key reasons that in the very beginning, in the 90s, the community was called in to say what it wanted to have for its future along this corridor. And we recognized the need for both the marine trades and the very prestigious corridor with its poplar buffering. We are now of a notion from our research that these trees are, in fact, quite appropriate to this corridor. They act as a very necessary buffer between the industrial work that goes on in the port and the roadway and the park that buffer is needed to protect and to enhance that habitat.
I think the problem here is that the trees have been neglected. Back in the late 80s and 90s, the community spoke loud and clear. They wanted to keep them as part of the Sims Way corridor, and they wanted the city to maintain them, and the city has neglected them.
You can say you don't like them. They look scrubby right now because they've not been groomed. But in Europe, they groom them, and people should go look to see how poplars can look that are tended to. They are quite spectacular.
At the end of February, the Port Townsend City Council approved the formation of a stakeholder advisory group to discuss planning and public input for the Sims Gateway and Boatyard Development Project. The group is made up of 9 individuals who volunteered to participate during the last town hall meeting discussing the issue. Its ranks include 6 local residents along with representatives from the Parks, Recreation, Tree and Trail Advisory Board, the Audubon Society, and the Chamber of Jefferson County. I spoke with Public Works Director Steve King to learn more about the purpose of the group.
So we want this group to bring their expertise to the table and their diverse viewpoints and basically evaluate options and talk about the pluses and minuses of various options. No project that makes everybody 100% happy. There's always somebody that's not happy about a project. But what we want to do is through transparency is for everybody to see how this debate goes and why the committee is recommending certain options. Once the committee gets done with their process, it'll be working with the Parks Board along the way. And ultimately, it'll go to the City Council and Board Commission and PUD Commission for approval.
What kind of power does this group hold in regard to the project?
They are going to vet options. They're a technical group. They're going to look at the various options. They don't make any decisions, but what they will do is they will help us develop the options that are going to go to the Parks Board and then City Council ultimately for decisions. Their power, I wouldn't call it power. They don't. It's not like they have power, but they have influence in developing the plan through this process of evaluating of options.
A lot of citizens that I've spoken with have been frustrated at the perceived expediency at which the approval of the Sims Way project came at, and they feel like there was no time for community input and public comment. Would you mind explaining how the plan came to be and why it happened so quickly?
That's an interesting statement. I don't know that I agree with that because the project's not approved. We're actually just getting started, right? We're actually just getting started to figure out how to develop this gateway plan or the implementation of the Sims Way project. And that's involving a stakeholder committee that we're putting together. The reason the project came forward quickly is there was a safety issue. With a safety issue comes an expediency of needing to address the safety concern. You know, we, the port and the city and the PUD recognize, oh, there's a lot to this project and we want to make sure to have a good opportunity for public input. So we put the brakes on doing anything until we can go through the public process to actually figure out what we're going to do, exactly how it's going to look. How does it work with the gateway plan? How does it work with the boatyard? You know, all those parts that gets very detailed and it takes a lot of work to figure that out. And it needs to be done with the public. And so we've just formed the committee. So we haven't even started that process yet.
The public comment and the community involvement hasn't really begun yet.
Yeah, it hasn't begun yet. We've had 2 town hall meetings since it started. We just wanted to get the public aware of what was happening, what the issues were, and get the public interested, which is done, which is great. Now we have a lot of people that are interested. Some people are critical of the project because they think all the decisions have already been made. The only decision that's been made is we need to address the safety problem, right? That's what needs to be dealt with. But as far as how we do it, that's still to be figured out.
The story of the Sims Way poplars is far from over. I open the story with a question asked to our town, and I'd like to close with another. At the end of every interview I conducted, I asked, if you were going to say something to our community, to those who support and disagree with you, what would it be?
We have a beautiful and functioning gateway corridor that must be cared for.
We're going to try and give the time for the process so that we can get the best decision we can and get the best final product we can.
We rely on our public agencies. They need to be honest with us.
Please participate. Please make your points known. Share your thoughts. The Parks Board meetings will be multiple times for the public to weigh in and provide comments. They can email us anytime they want. That way we can make sure everybody's voices are heard.
I would say engage. Come into the tent. Work with all of us.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to extend my thanks to all the co-op shoppers who took time out of their Thursday afternoon to speak with me, and to the Port Townsend Food Co-op for allowing me to conduct interviews on their premises. I'd also like to thank my editor and mentor, Larry Stein, for the advice and the airtime. My name is Amelia Nunn.
That was Amelia Nunn reporting on the controversy over the poplar trees along Sims Way as you head into Port Townsend. I appreciate the contribution of all the people who spoke to Amelia for this story. It was quite a complicated project. You're listening to KPTZ, Port Townsend. The show is Attention, Please. I'm Larry Stein. Now we'll go over to Fort Worden, where George Marie, who is the program manager for writing at Centrum, became curious about the reorganization of Fort Worden's operation around her. She interviews the two women who have taken over the hospitality wing of Fort Worden, George Marie.
I'm George Marie, and I'm here talking with Natalie Maitland and Aislinn Diamante. And what are your titles?
So Natalie Maitland, I'm the Managing Director of Operations. So what that means is I oversee the operational pieces, housekeeping, sales, and food and beverage here with Fort Worden Hospitality.
And Aislinn?
Yeah, I, for now, am the Managing Director of Administration, so I'm overseeing the finance, HR, IT, and maintenance sides of what we do at Fort Worden Hospitality.
And Fort Worden Hospitality is the new entity that has taken over the services and operations side of what the PDA used to do.
It is correct in saying that the hospitality pieces that the Fort Worden Public Development Authority used to manage are now being managed by Fort Worden Hospitality. What that means is kind of all of the services related to the restaurants, the catering, the accommodations piece, and also the venue rentals and events that come along with that are all being now managed by Fort Worden Hospitality. And the PDA does still exist. I liken it to maybe they're more of a property manager now of the park. They still obviously hold the master lease with state parks in that way and have their own board. And Fort Worden Hospitality now has its own board separate from the PDA. So there is definitely understanding that separation from what was and what is now.
Yeah, so I just wanted to go deeper into the history of the PDA and its formation, because a lot of the long-range planning that happened included the hospitality services being run by a separate entity than the PDA. So what we've done with this restructuring and this launch of Fort Worden Hospitality is actually better match the long-range planning that was originally done and was determined would probably be the best setup for how to run things at Fort Worden.
The hospitality side is really looking at the rental of spaces for tourists coming into town, catering, events such as weddings, conferences. You obviously work really close with Centrum, where I work. And help expand what other kind of work, like as far as operations, maintenance of the fort, any of that?
Yeah. So for now, we are doing the maintenance side. We're working with the PDA and ultimately with the partners on a new site-wide maintenance plan and what will be a new maintenance program for the whole site. But for now, we're running that team and overseeing the maintenance that's done while we kind of work on the larger plan and the bigger picture. And then as mentioned, the PDA is also still sort of the developer for the site. So bigger projects such as upgrading the buildings and things like that are still in the PDA's court. And then we just have to work with them on the ultimate uses of those spaces and what the best projects to pursue are.
So like long-term plans.
Long-term and then capital. Also. So obviously the relationship that the PDA has with state parks factors into that, but really the collaboration between the hospitality PDA and all of the partners here is really the direction that we all, I think, want to be going in for the health and future viability of the state park, the place that we all love here in Port Townsend.
Yeah. Tell me about the philosophy that's driving your nonprofit.
Yeah. So, you know, this reorganization has been a long time in development, if you will, over the past year and a half prior to our launch on February 14th to create a really solid foundation with which we can build this organization. And through that process and working with team members, we looked at not only our mission and values, but also taking it a step further and developing a service philosophy to allow our guests, visitors, and other partners that we work with an understanding of the experience that they can expect when they come and partake in a hospitality service here at the park. Through that, we really looked at something that we could like hold ourselves to, a benchmark for teaching our staff. So we looked at the community at large, what they expect with the level of detail when they come to Fort Worden, how we could do all of that with integrity, because that was a very important piece of how we create policy and also how we practice. And then really looking at how we can proactively work to ensure that both guests and employees want to return. Having that dichotomy with the guests and the employees and the emphasis on both is something that we talked a lot about as a change in how hospitality foundationally was going to be moving forward.
I love to hear that. It's so important as the root of any organization is to recognize that if you're in service, you're not only in service to the community, right? You're in service to the people that are inside the organization itself. And if you can't, again, lead with integrity or provide support and resources that the staff need, how are you going to be able to serve others? Can you tell me a little bit about what the implementation looks like? Like, do you guys just have a bunch of inspirational posters? How does that implementation work within the organization?
Yeah, so we have sort of tasked the managers in our different areas to take elements of the service philosophy. And we sort of kicked it all off with a big all staff, all hands meeting where we demonstrated what each of these four elements of the philosophy mean to how we're going to operate on a day-to-day basis. So it kind of set the stage for, you know, making sure that people understood and the emphasis on the importance of this. But then also, as we go forth, whether it be continued education of our staff or obviously educating new staff that we bring on, there are ways that we're sort of infusing that into the day to day. And then also we are building out some public facing elements so people understand how we operate, right? Because if they understand us, then they might understand some of the quirks that they might find when they come stay at Fort Worden, it being a historic place, but then also it's just a very unique property. It's not a resort, it's not a typical type of hotel experience. So I think if we can infuse the philosophy on the front end as well, it'll help just to build that relationship with all of those people that pass through.
And what it sounds like to me is this real bridge into partnerships.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So Fort Worden Hospitality is part of the dynamic partnerships that are growing here at the fort between multiple organizations.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, the changing landscape does really make us look at how we can sort of foster creative problem solving to meet the needs not only of the partners here on campus, but our broader community. I think that that collective is going to be really important to us. It is really important. I don't think it is important to us moving forward. And I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities to really look at how we can better serve our community and those within it and really make the park feel that inclusiveness. You know, the neighbor who lives across the street from the park to all of the partners here on campus and just the broader scope of what that means to honoring the rich history of this area and the future impact that can be made.
It sounds like this organization and the leadership that Fort Worden Hospitality is providing is really looking to the future and looking towards what possibilities are out there.
No, I agree. I think that if we sort of look at what we've been through and where we can go, we all really have to sort of think more openly and use both sides of our brain to have that creative problem solving that can affect the change that we want and also drive the direction of where I think everyone here at Fort Worden wants this place to be. It's a magical place. Aislinn, would you like to add anything?
No, I think Natalie really stated it well. And as you were saying, like how Fort Worden hospitality came to be was an exercise in creative problem solving. And so I think that is in our bones. So I just echo how excited we are to be part of this community and to be on this side of the launch and really looking towards the future and what we can do with all of the partners.
We have a lot of work still to do. This is really just the beginning for us, but some of the ideas that we've talked with you about today are obviously the foundational elements of which we will then be able to grow and add things to look at our services, to look at our partnerships, to look at events that we can bring the community together at. All of those things are things that, you know, we have as we look to what's next for us. And so obviously all that will take time. You know, we're just really looking forward to this summer and getting a little bit more of whatever the new normal is and seeing that life come back to the fort. So that's in the short term, and then long term, you know, we can build upon that.
Yeah.
Are there any calls to the community, like ways that the community wants to come and support? There's a cafe. Is Taps going to reopen?
Yeah, so one of the also exciting things kind of about this change is it gives us an opportunity to develop different programs. So we're kind of tossing around some ideas about some locals specific programs, because as we look at the different types of people who experience hospitality services, our local community is a huge part of that. You know, we obviously bring people from the region, from across the country, but serving our local community through our services is something that's important to us. And we know we want to further strengthen that relationship. So we will be rolling out some programs here over the next couple of months as we develop those for locals, maybe some locals discounts as well. And then,
but yes, Taps will be open.
So yeah, so Reveille Cafe is currently open and people can come in and hopefully they're enjoying kind of the new menu style that they're seeing at Reveille. And Taps, yes. You know, we want it to be that neighborhood bar that everyone wants to come with. So we are currently working on putting together our staff, our menu, our bar program for Taps. And so later on this spring, if everything goes as planned, then we will be able to reopen Taps. So we're all very excited about that.
We'll also be having some public meetings where people can get to know us better. Soon we'll be announcing dates on those.
So how can people find out more about Fort Worden Hospitality? Is there a website that they can look at?
So you can find us at fortworden.org.
I want to thank you both, Natalie and Aislinn, for coming in and speaking with me, for sharing the information about Fort Worden Hospitality and changes happening at Fort Worden. This is George Marie for KPTZ. Thank you for listening.
That was George Murray interviewing the two managers of the hospitality operation at Fort Worden. Earlier in the show, we heard Amelia Nunn reporting on the controversy over the poplar trees lining Sims Way as you enter Port Townsend. Thank you to everybody who participated in the show, especially Amelia Nunn and George Marie, our new contributors. Thanks for listening to KPTZ and Attention Please. I'm Larry Stein.